everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer, and for this episode, we're talking to Athol Duncan about his book, Leaders in Lockdown, Inside Stories of COVID-19 and the New World of Business. Athol Duncan is the chair of the leadership development business, Black Isle Group. He worked as a journalist, TV producer, and executive for the BBC for more than 20 years. He was head of news and current affairs for BBC Scotland from 2007 to 2011. Athol is an INSEAD certified executive coach who has studied leadership at Harvard and Cranfield. He is currently chair of the Scottish salmon industry, which is Britain's largest food exporter, audit chair of a cinema business, chair of UK coaching, and is non-executive director and former chair of the British Horse Racing Authority. He works mainly in London and internationally and has a home in Scotland. So his book, Leaders in Lockdown, is a unique insight from the women and men who are on the front line of leading the business world's fight against COVID-19. From New York to Singapore to Hong Kong, City of London, it captures a remarkable moment in time when the world's global economy was brought to a shuddering halt in the struggle to contain the deadly pandemic. These first-hand accounts of the first 100 days of lockdown tell stories of leadership in a crisis. They also share the wisdom of some of the world's most thoughtful business leaders as they predict how the world will change because of COVID-19. In these in-depth interviews, the leaders we hear from include New York Times CEO Mark Thompson, Unilever CHRO Lena Nair, Care Home leader Sir David Behan, Stagecoach founder Sir Brian Suter, Tata's people leader Nupur Malik, and trailblazing young venture capitalist Pocket Sun. Right, well, let's jump straight into talking about the book. So it's Leaders in Lockdown. What was the inspiration behind the book? And more importantly, how was your lockdown?
Well, the inspiration was realising at the outset in March 2020 that the world was really encountering an episode that was enormous in its implications. And this was a remarkable moment in history. And I had the desire to record it in some way, but to record it in a way that was useful, Francesca. And really, in speaking to these 28 global business leaders, we were trying to answer two questions. How did they cope with the crisis? And hopefully through that, people would learn how to cope with crisis in the future. And the second question was, how will the world of business change because of what we've gone through? And the learning and the insight that we're looking from that is to help people reset their businesses, reset their personal approach to business, and hopefully reset the world of business that we live in. Because I think that when in 30 or 50 years' time, when historians or PhD students look back at these weeks and these months, they will be the defining moment of the century. And what's happened in these weeks and months will be picked over for many, many decades to come. So that's really what we're trying to do in Leaders of Lockdown. We're trying to capture a moment of history, and we're trying to do it through this kind of unprecedented insight of these global business leaders who were at the time, you know, remarkably locked down behind their kitchen tables in their houses around the world.
Yeah, I mean, you must have been pretty fast off the mark to get a book out this quickly on it as well.
Well, we did move quite quickly, but of course, one of the issues, ironically, the issue at the time was that we didn't think the COVID crisis would last for too long. And you know, would some of this be outdated by the time we were bringing out a book in the autumn? And of course, what is happening now, we have the opposite problem of that, the crisis is, who knows, at halfway stage or still going. And that's why we've been very focused on the insights from these leaders in that first 100 days of lockdown.
Yeah, when the world sort of started to end.
When the world stopped, you know, and when business stopped, when trade stopped, when You know, millions of people were moved from office working to home working. I mean, one of the people that we interview in the book is Nupur Singh Malik, who's the HR, group HR for Tata. And Tata moved 600,000 people from offices to home working in a matter of days. I mean, that kind of logistical exercise was being repeated by corporations right across the world.
I mean, how was your lockdown? How did you find it? Because I don't know about you, it feels like a million years ago that we were only allowed out for exercise, and it all seems a bit like another lifetime.
Well, I feel mildly guilty about my lockdown because, as I explain at the start of the book, although I work mainly in London and internationally, I live in a place called North Berwick, which is on the Scottish coast, just over the border from England. And it's absolutely idyllic here. We have miles and miles of white sandy beaches and nice walks. And it was against this idyllic backdrop of East Lothian and the Scottish countryside that I lived my lockdown, and finding it quite difficult to conceive, you know, the people who were gasping for breath in the hospitals of London, or the cemeteries filling up in Lombardy, or the mobile morgues that were being parked in the shadows of the skyscrapers of Manhattan. It was a very opposite experience that I was having.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds lovely. I guess you've got a lot of space then, not sort of the one bedroom flat in London to go on your...
No, and you know, we come on to talk about this, no doubt, but this was one of the inequalities of lockdown, wasn't it? That for some people, it was not the worst of experiences, but for those who could afford to be in nice homes with gardens, but of course hundreds of millions of people around the world can't, and you know, it was quite a difficult experience for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, talking sort of getting back into the book, so with through the interviews that you've done, you kind of discover these seven trends for a new world of business that people have learned from lockdown. These can include purpose, the new world of work, inequality, global cooperation, resilience, supply chain reset, and maximizing potential. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because people need to buy the book. But what were some of the common ideas around purpose that you found?
Well, on purpose, I think we found, this was articulated very well by Lena Nair, who's the chief HR officer for Unilever, that this was a moment in history which heightened the importance of purpose like no other. And you saw that businesses that already had purpose to the fore coped better with the crisis. Unilever was one of them. It became the largest company in the FTSE 100 during the crisis. But Unilever's roots go back to the Lifebuoy soap 150 years ago. And Lifebuoy soap was created to deal with typhoid and other such plagues in inner city slums in Britain. So I think at Unilever, they felt that they'd come round full circle and back to their purpose. But I think one thing that this has highlighted is that going forward, there will be a second age of purpose. You know, it was a number of the people that we spoke to feel that in business, we've really only been talking about purpose in many organizations, and we've not been properly embedding purpose into what we do. So I think we will see a second age of purpose. But the other themes, just to be clear about what the seven themes were, what we tried to do was we tried to group together what these 28 leaders told us about how the world was going to change, how the world of business was going to change. And it was in these seven areas that we believe that the world is going to change. And we want people to use this as a framework which they can check back on and check their personal approach to business, check their strategies against, and use this as a working tool for reshaping for the new world of business.
Definitely. It does feel like this has been kind of like a pause that maybe everyone needed. There's been like so many sort of, I guess, even social, economical issues, climate change, they've all come up and sort of been so much more at the forefront of everyone's minds during this time. And I think maybe the fact that no one could go anywhere or do anything but listen and kind of learn and act on these things, I think it's been really interesting. I think especially in business, I mean, mental health has always been a thing that we've spoken about, like business wise, but perhaps not as much as I've seen recently as well. So it's been really interesting to see the kind of the more human sides of business coming out.
Well, I think so. And I think one of the theories that we put forward in this book that is that the COVID-19 has marked the end of the Superman leader. And it was mainly the Superman. And it's seen the emergence of the empathetic leader. And it's the empathetic, more caring, more compassionate leader who has been far more effective during COVID-19. And as you said there, the listening leader, to listen, was one of the messages that came out from so many of the 28 senior business people that we spoke to.
And I think one of the other sections that was really interesting, so that we've kind of just touched on slightly, was inequality. I guess, why do you think this has become like the forefront of people's business agendas? Were there any like, sort of key takeaways that you had from the interviews that we were doing in tackling inequality?
I think COVID-19 exposed inequality at every level. I mean, the virus killed in such an unequal way, and it killed the poor and the disenfranchised, and it left the white middle class relatively untouched. Mm-hmm. And it targeted the BAME community, and it showed an inequality in our health systems, and inequality homeschooling exposed inequality in education. So I think it exposed inequality at every level. But going forward, the fear, the real fear, is that the gap, the inequality gap, will widen even further. I mean, look at the vaccine. I mean, who's going to get the vaccine first?
Yeah.
Probably the rich countries, the rich companies, the rich people. And then if you look at what it does to the wealth of economies, the debt, the massive debt that has to be taken on by nations to deal with this will further widen inequality between the developed nations and the developing nations. So, you know, inequality is there as a massive concern, I think. And the question is, what can business do at every level about that?
Yeah, I think I can't remember what film it was. It was one that everyone was watching as lockdown started because it was so scarily real. In the film, it very much similarly shows how much inequality there is and how it just was exacerbated by the pandemic. Similarly with the vaccine in the film, who got it first? It was kind of if you can pay, you can play sort of situation. And I think, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting one as this rolls out.
And in a new world of purpose, you know, business needs to take more responsibility for what it can do to lessen this inequality. I mean, there's some very interesting conversations that I had around about unemployment and how, rather than just laying people off with speed to get your cost base down, could we think about this in an entirely new way? Could we think about how we reskilled our workforce in these large corporations, how we moved people from areas which were financially being hit by the pandemic to areas of opportunity? So I think we need to think of inequality in very new and innovative ways, and business business with purpose needs to take a lead on that. We need to put people and the planet before profit.
Definitely. Maybe for the first time ever. I mean, one of the other interesting sections, which I think will speak very loudly and strongly to everyone, is resilience. I mean, it's been a topic of conversation for a while in sort of like the soft skills arena. But I mean, especially at the moment with sort of people losing jobs, generally just having to carry on energy wise while working at home. Were there any key learnings that you sort of found from the conversations you were having about resilience?
Well, again, clearly COVID exposed where there wasn't resilience in terms of the financial resilience of organisations, the operational resilience, and then the personal resilience of people who've had to cope with such a crisis over such a, you know, we're in month seven. Wow. Since the crisis really hit the UK, and the resilience of the supply chain. So I think there's a lot that needs to be focused on that, and how we make organisations and how we make people more resilient going forward. But and one of the people that we interviewed was Sir David Behan, who is the executive chairman of HC1 Care Homes, which is the largest care home company in the UK. And HC1, more than 1,000 of their residents died during the crisis, and Sir David Behan was explaining to me how in the early days how the guidelines from government changed many times in a very short space of time. How did he cope with that? How did he cope with it with his leadership team? How did he cope with that with the wider employees of the organization? And one of the things that he said to me is that it really taught that leadership is not about what you do in the good times. It's about how you behave and what you do in the bad times. That's the true mark of leadership. Clement Kwok, who's the CEO of Hong Kong Shanghai Hotels, you have the Peninsula Hotel is one of their main brands. Yeah. His focus on this was round about investing. And he essentially said to me that if you were put off by the ups and downs of something like a pandemic, then you couldn't actually call yourself a long-term investor. To him, investment in a business was what you would do for 100 or 150 years through wars, pandemics, and all the ups and downs. So there was resilience there. In financial resilience and resilience in the attitude of investors to his business.
Yeah, I wouldn't have actually thought of it in the terms of financial, but that's so true. And I think actually looking at kind of like the news around companies who did it really well because they were treating their employees well, and the companies that not treating their employees so well, and it kind of says a lot, like those who do well were talked about well and those who did not were sort of very much sort of dragged down in the press.
I think so, and I think people will have long memories for who treated their employees well in this crisis. Yeah. And I think they'll have long memories about who didn't. But again, through these 28, because of the extreme nature of this crisis, you know, quite often when we deal with crisis in business, they are relatively short-lived. In this crisis, we're dealing with a situation where people didn't only fear for their jobs, they didn't only fear for the future of their businesses, but quite frankly, they feared for their own lives. Mm-hmm. And they feared for the lives of their children, and their mothers and their fathers. So this was such a period of such intense anxiety that it needed empathy. And it needed compassion and caring from leadership. And maybe that's one of the things that we will retain going forward. And we talked before about the Superman leader being replaced by the empathetic leader. And if you look in politics, you know, there's also something which we touch upon is that it was the female leaders who appear to have been more empathetic in the way that they've dealt with the crisis around the world. And I don't I don't know, this is a guess, but I suspect that the female chief executives may have been seen to have been more empathetic than some, although not all, of the male chief executives.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I know sort of the New Zealand Prime Minister, she's had incredible responses to the way she's dealt with it. So I think it's quite interesting that she also happens to be a woman. I wonder, as you said, if that's linked.
And I mean, I was quite struck by a gentleman that I spoke to, George Hong Choi, who's the chief executive of the Link REIT Investment Trust in Hong Kong. And they're one of the biggest owners of office space and shopping malls in China and Hong Kong. And he had his three C's that kept him going and focused through the crisis. And his three C's were communication, cooperation, and caring. They were his three C's: communication, cooperation, and caring. So communicate, 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 get people to work together, and then do it all with great care and compassion. And that was what kept him focused through the crisis.
Yeah, sounds like a magic formula. From your research, I mean, one of the topics that came up across all the interviews was maximising potential. I think we've sort of slightly touched on it in terms of maybe retraining or developing the skills of your staff, so perhaps redundancies aren't necessary. But why is it so important, and what were the common things that came up?
Well, we touched on mental health, and I think you know, there had been a greater focus on this before COVID, but again, COVID is high. I mean, one thing that I would say about COVID, a point that was made several times to me, is it doesn't create new trends, a huge global crisis like this. It tends to accelerate trends that are already there. Yeah. And it has accelerated the trend of people being more understanding and more aware of their own mental health and physical health, because there's never been a period where people have been under so much pressure like this. I do think it'll also mean a fundamental rethink in how we develop leaders and we develop colleagues. Certainly a number of the global leaders that we spoke to, many of them had their own executive coaches, and they used those coaches to pause, to just take a step back, to reflect, to bounce ideas off someone in the heat of this incredible crisis, and they feel they make better decisions because they have that coaching culture. Now, I also spoke to Will Hamid, who is the founder, one of the founders and chief executives of Whoop, which is a wearable health technology, which started with sports people. And he's moved into now the executive field, and he has a number of senior executives. And this technology will monitor your strain, your recovery, your sleep. And he talks about executives needing to take an approach to our work with the mindset of an Olympian. And I don't think that means we need to lift weights or run up and down hills. I think it's all about mindset and focus and preparation. And I found that approach very interesting. But let's think about it. If you want to be at the top of anything in the sporting field, you have a coach. Yeah. You have someone who's able to observe you, observe how you're behaving, observe your triumphs and challenge you on your areas of development. And I think we're getting there in business, but in my opinion, and I know I have a strong vested interest in this, if you don't have an executive coach, if you're not encouraging a coaching culture in your business, then you're not going to maximize your potential.
That's so interesting. I think a lot of leaders and just people generally have had the time and space to kind of look inside themselves in terms of mindsets, mental health. I think, everyone's been moving so quickly that it's always kind of been output yeah, it's always been results, it's always been numbers, it's always been, you know, how much can we get done? And actually this time has made everyone, sort of forced everyone to sit back and take stock of actually what they're doing and why they're doing it. So I can understand why that is.
And I think because the crisis is so incredible, I don't think you can necessarily tackle this crisis with the mindset that you would have in normal times. And I think that's where coaching, mentoring, peer coaching, I think that's where all of that comes into play. This is not normal stuff that we're dealing with here. This is remarkable situation for the whole of society. And I think we need a different mindset to understand how to tackle it. And you know, you're maybe seeing that at the moment, because lockdown was, you know, the first tool that we used, wasn't it, back in this 100 days that I've written about. But now we're using lockdown for the second wave. And I think the big question that's emerging there is are we fighting the previous war? Are we tackling the previous issue? Yeah. Is lockdown actually the tactic or the tool in our box for tackling the current situation? And I think business leaders have had to think in a very different way, and those who've managed to do that, who've managed to be agile, who've managed to move at pace, I think they are the ones that have done well in the crisis and will flourish as we come out of the crisis. We also, in the book, we've focused on a number of people who've seen significant opportunities. We talked to Pocket Sun, who's a 28-year-old venture capitalist, born in China, lives in Singapore, and her fund funds female entrepreneurs, and it has funded a number of female entrepreneurs who've seen great opportunity in the crisis, not least a home healthcare business in Texas, which produced a home test for COVID in a matter of days. So there has been opportunity, and you know, people who've seen opportunity are the people who'll flourish.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting seeing like the sort of innovation and creativity that has come out of lockdown. Even just sort of on a really low level, like my local pub was doing deliveries of all their bottled beers because it would go off. They didn't know if it would go off before the end of whenever this would end. And so they were doing deliveries just so they could sort of keep an income coming. It's been really interesting to see how people have taken this and maybe done completely different things that they might never have thought of before.
And that's the definition of true entrepreneurs, isn't it? Mm. The people who've hunkered down and been caught in the headlights are not really true entrepreneurs. The people who've flexed, adapted, looked for opportunities, tried things, they are the true entrepreneurs in business.
Mm, definitely. I mean, one of the sort of big final questions I was going to ask you is what your personal hopes, I guess, are for the new world of work and our learnings from lockdown, maybe for you personally or for you and your business?
Well, you know, this highlights that we can't go back to the way that things were. Yeah. You know, it's highlighted so many fault lines in how we did business and really in our approach to society as a whole. So we need to take these seven themes that are in the book, and we need to create serious transformational change round about them. And we'll only do this. I mean, I've said to people that I would love to regard this as not just a book, but as a start for a movement for change, a movement for change to take us towards a better world of business. COVID could well be the dress rehearsal for what is coming on climate change, but society is certainly at a crossroads. Will we make these changes in all these areas, and will we make them to a level which has a fundamental change on society at the end of the day, Francesca, that is down to leadership. And as always, it comes back to the individual actions of leaders and the collective actions of the people and the businesses which they lead. But the world needs to change, and hopefully this book can help inspire people to not go back to where we were, but to press forward with a very different mindset towards what we do in life and in business.
Brilliant. I mean, lastly, for anyone that's interested, where can they find you and more information about your work?
Well, I'm the chair of Black Isle Group. So you can find us at blackislegroup.com. And there's also further information about the book on my own website, which is athelduncan.com. That's Athel with two L's. And I am, as part of trying to create this movement, I am very enthusiastic about getting out on the road and not just speaking on webinars and on podcasts, although it's a delight to always do that, but to get out and speak to individual teams in businesses to share the insights of the leaders in lockdown and to help people on that transformational journey.
Brilliant, yeah. Thank you so much to Athel Duncan, author of Leaders in Lockdown. Now, do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing. We'll be sharing podcasts with people such as Athel, new books and expert opinions. So take care, and I'll see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.